pastor is taking a short break, a little bit of a vacation. Well-earned and well-deserved vacation, I must say. And there might be those among you who say, well, she's only just got here. Well, she's only just got here, but she's been doing this for many years. And this vacation was long planned, and like I said, well-deserved. So we're just glad to have Pastor Lorinda Bonge to serve in her absence. And so I have a couple of announcements. We'll start with the prayer and praise cards that you can find in your pews and the seat backs. So if you have any prayer requests, please list them on those prayer request cards and any praises as well so that we can record those. Salty service, you can see the salty service cards. All required for those is to just simply lift one up, place it in the offering plate as it's passing by you to signify that you have done something for someone else during this week or any other time. And then don't forget to register your attendance with the registration pads as well. Several other announcements. The Finance Committee is going to meet Monday at 6 p.m. The Worship Committee, Tuesday at 7 p.m. Children's Ministry, Wednesday at 6 p.m. And Wednesday is correct, right? Correct day for Children's Ministry meeting, yes. Then the Friendship Club is going to have a pop on Thursday at noon. So those of you who would like to attend the Friendship Club potluck, come on by the church Thursday at noon if you're able to. And a very important announcement regarding signing up for the pictorial directory. We have in the church right now, this morning, who are waiting for you to stop by and sign up for a specifically designated time to take pictures with yourself or your family to put in that directory. So if you have a moment after church, stop by, and they'll be there waiting for you. We also have news regarding the pumpkins arriving. Pumpkins will arrive on October 4th. That's a Saturday, October 4th. So put on your pumpkin clothes, your pumpkin patch jeans, whatever you're wearing, and come on out and help us get that truck unloaded Saturday morning, October 4th. And we'll have an organizational meeting, committee meeting, very soon, and we'll announce that to the entire church. So anyone who wants to participate in the pumpkin patch, in sales, in service, in prayer, in whatever capacity, we need lots of help with the pumpkin patch. So we'll be doing that more. We have Ms. Mary Cook. Mary, can you come up while I finish introducing you? Mary is a special guest here with us today, and I think she's one of your members. Yes. And she had an announcement, a special announcement, and they kind of asked me to do it, and I thought, you know what? You can do it far better than I. So go ahead, Mary.
Campus. Okay. Oh, you need the mic. Okay. I was using my teacher voice. You get to work with that only one child. And the teacher gives you some ideas or I give some support and so forth. But I have seven children who are on a waiting list right now who need a mentor. And I can tell you that some people have said 1 hour. What's that? That doesn't mean very much. You'd be surprised what 1 hour of undivided attention one child can make in that child's life. Sometimes we're working on academics. Lots of times we're working on self-esteem. We have all the associated problems that you're aware of with the youth in our society. So if you're interested, I do have some information about some of the children who need a mentor now with me, and then I'd be glad to talk with you, or if there's anybody else in your church that you would like me to come and speak to, I would be glad to do that. Desperately in need of caring Christian adults to be with our children at W.E. Cherry. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you, too, Mrs. Cook. So if anyone is interested in that mentoring program, please see Mrs. Cook immediately after church. I'm sure she can give you all of the information that you need. Are there other announcements?
Going and organized for October 11th. start making some donations to the state level. Last year, we reached the $5,000, and then we had set $5,000 this year. So that's starting out.
Amen. Are there others? Any others?
One more.
Okay. Oh, thank you. So don't forget, right after church, to sign up for your pictorial directory pictures, family and otherwise. And now we're going to continue with our worship service by joining together with our opening words and prayer. In your bulletin, you'll find those opening words and prayer. If everyone would grab a hold of that and join me. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Sounds like everybody's got it. So, worship elements for September 7th. Owe no one anything except to love one another.
For the one who loves has fulfilled the law.
Love does no wrong to a neighbor.
Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Live into God's ways of love, justice, and peace.
Let us worship Christ who leads us into light. Amen.
Let us pray.
Lord, we come
this day to worship
and thank you for
the many ways you guide our lives.
We ask that our hearts, our ears, and our spirits may be open to your healing words of love. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. So please stand as you're able and join together as we sing hymn number 77, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
Miss Cook, I'll sign up for one of them kids. I'll challenge everybody else.
That took place a long time ago, many, many years ago. We didn't have a sink with faucets that worked and put water in the sink. We had to go outside, and actually people walked to the river or to the spring to get water to use. They couldn't turn on the spigot like we do today. Well, there was a rich house that had three maids, and these three maids had to go get water twice a day down at the river. Well, every time they came back to the house, the first maid had a full water jug full. The second maid's water jug was clear full too. But the third maid's water was always half gone. And she just would think about it and not know what she did, but it got to a point where it made her cry. And she finally said to the lady of the house one day, she said, "I'm sorry, I'm a failure. Everybody has a full jug of water except me. And I'm so sorry that I don't know where the water's going to. But I fill it up at the river, it's clear full. But when I get here, it's half gone." And the lady said, "Do you know where the water's going?" She said, "You're a special maid because your jug has a leak in it. And when it comes up the hill, it waters all the beautiful flowers along the side of the road." And she said, "You know those beautiful flowers we have on our table at dinner time?" And the girl said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Those are the flowers that you're watering every day." And you know, it made me think about how God works. Sometimes things are happening that doesn't look like it's a good idea or a good outcome. And then it turns out to be even better than we could imagine. And that happens a lot to me. Does it happen to you too? And for instance, like your mom or dad goes out to get in the car in the morning and the tire's flat. And you go, "Oh no, the tire's flat." But they take it to the tire man and he fixes it and he says to them, "It's a good thing you didn't drive on this tire. It had a nail in the side and it could have blown out and you could have had a bad wreck. So that was a good thing that happened that tire was flat, huh?" Mm-hmm. And how about when your teacher sends a note home from school and it says, "Can I see you and your son, Mrs. Cook, tomorrow morning?" And you say, "I don't know why she said that, Mom." And your mom said, "Did you do something and you're not telling me?" You're saying, "No, Mom." And so you think about it all night long and you don't sleep good because you don't know what you did and you know you're in trouble. But when you get to school the next morning with your mom, the teacher says, "You know, Johnny has been having trouble seeing the blackboard. And I think that maybe he needs his eyes checked. Have you noticed that?" And the mother said, "Little bit I have." She said, "Well, he might feel easier doing his schoolwork if he could see better. Will you take him to the eye doctor?" And so that was a good thing because now Johnny can do it, everything the other kids can do and see the board just as well. Isn't it wonderful how God works? So whenever we think things are bad, always something good's coming out, isn't it? So let's just say our little prayer. Lord, we just thank you for these children of God. We just ask that you will help them to know your will and to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
I now invite the ushers to come forward for our morning offering. You know it's a good children's sermon when folks are excited.
Yes.
Let us pray. Great and glorious Spirit, We give you thanks this day for all the things that you have given us and continue to give us. Be with us this day and help us as we return to you a portion of what you have given us. Let it be used for your service, for the good of all. All this we lift up to you, the one who created us, who redeems us, and who forever will sustain us. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, come on. Y'all could do better than that. Thank you.
I'm liking you more.
And now after you volunteered to mentor, I'm going to take all the bad things I said about you after the 8:30 service. I'm going to take them back.
Whatever it takes.
Show them the love. I am told by Pastor Esther that since this is Communion Sunday, that you say a confession, which is found in your bulletins. And if I feel like it, I may join you in confessing this morning. Almighty God, we confess that we have fallen short.
We have looked to the ways of the world, to selfish gain and worldly success, and left behind our neighbors. We have turned our backs on the needs of others so that we can help ourselves get ahead first. Forgive us for looking only for our own interests instead of the needs of others around us. Help us to love our neighbor as ourselves, which you commanded us to do. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
We may forget, but God never forgets us. We may go astray, but God is ready to guide us back. We may feel lost, but God has already found us. Know that God loves you and desires new life for you. Know that you are forgiven and that God is with you. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
Now, first, I haven't been here in a while. It's been over a year, I do believe. So, some of you may not be familiar with my disclaimers. I often have to give a disclaimer about something or another. And this morning is no exception. All right. So in your bulletins, you will note it says the sermon title is One. Yes, yes. So I don't know if the sermon is actually about anything called One. So if you get to the end of the sermon and you say, how did that connect with the title? And it doesn't, then it's not you. It's me. Because I had to get the title to Sue, so I gave her a title. And Sue put in what I told her to put in. So it's not Sue either. All right? And the second part of that disclaimer is that the scripture passage says Genesis 1 through something. 7? We are going to read all of Genesis 3, not just 1 through 7. All right? That again is not Sue. It's not you. It's me. All right? So that's my disclaimer. Some of you are looking at me a little strangely. No, I am not your usual traditional United Methodist Church pastor. Do not let that shock you. All right. Good. All right. So we are going to look at Genesis chapter 3, all of it. And I have a little commentary to go along as we read. So you Baptists may want to pull out your Bible so you can follow along. All right, Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, he, note the pronoun, he said to the woman, did God say, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Note, she gave some to her husband, who was with her. All right?
So none of this stuff about she was eating it and she's led us to sin and then she walked over and he was over there tilling the soil and she gave him the fruit and he didn't know what he was doing and he ate it and so she brought down all mankind. No. He was standing right there with her the whole time, listening to the whole conversation. And it's not that I don't love you, man, because I do. But it's the same thing. It was him. Yes. Duh. Honey, where's my shirt? Oh, where I put it? It was the same kind of thing. All right? So I just want you to be clear on that so we're clear. All right. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Now, here another issue. All right? Now, any of you, you may have been on either side of this, the person in your bedroom smoking or the person outside the door who caught you smoking, right? Or doing something else you had no business doing. Right? It's that same kind of thing. You're in there with your friends just smoking away. And the smoke is like going out the door all through the house, you know. And here comes mother. "What you doing in there?" "Nothing. We're doing nothing. See, it's the same kind of thing. God already knows, right? That they've eaten what they had no business eating. Now they're running and hiding. Hiding from what exactly? God already knows. But God yet comes out for a conversation. Yes. And says, "What have you been doing?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me, she gave me the fruit from the tree."
Amen.
All right now? The woman you, God, this is your fault first. And then you gave it to me. And then she gave me the fruit. None of this is my fault. None of it, I tell you. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And she said, "It was that serpent. The serpent tricked me." Now, the serpent did not trick her. The serpent was talking to her, right? Mm-hmm. The serpent made her think. Mm-hmm. And then she did something she had no business. But the serpent is not responsible here either. Ah, see? I can tell who grew up Baptist, because then you're like, "That's not right. The serpent's responsible. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. All right?" The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Again, a note. See, this condition of "he shall rule over you" is a punishment thing. This is not the way God intended it, correct? So as we try to make things better, we do not follow this line. Are we correct? Are we clear? Don't let Pastor LaRonda hear to the contrary. All right? Okay. And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field.
By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made garments of skins for the man and for his wife, and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "See, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a sword flaming and turning to guard the way to the tree of life. These are the words of life. Thanks be to God. And you may say, well, how are these words of life? We've committed a crime, a sin, however you want to define it. We've been thrown out of the garden. It's what many of us have learned is original sin. It's put all of humanity on the verge of damnation. So how could these be words of life? But today I want you to look at it a little differently. All right? There are volumes and volumes and volumes written on this passage in Genesis, on original sin, on what the sin actually was. Was it that they disobeyed God and did what God shouldn't, told them not to? Was it that they were sort of blaming each other? Was it this whole shame thing? That once they ate, they were no longer free. They now were ashamed and they're putting together fig leaves to try to hide. What do you think that it was? Was it not trusting in God? But I think ultimately when we look at this passage, it's a lot about relationship. And it's about God's love for us in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our shame. And I think it teaches us something not only from times past, but that we can use today. For we continue to walk around in shame. We continue to try to put fig leaves around all the bad things that have ever happened to us, all the things we don't want other people to know. We try to cover them up. But I want you to try something. You go home and you get you some shrubbery of some sort and get naked. As old folks used to say, get buck naked, right? Then, look, she put the bulletin up front of Frey. All right. And then get you the fauna and stuff and then put it around you, you know, and put you some tape and staple it or do something. And then go look in the mirror and see if it covers up all of your nakedness. Now, I guarantee it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And it's the same with us. We do so much to try to cover up what we've done, what somebody else has done to us, what we were thinking about doing. And not only does God see, but other people see. So why do we walk continuously in shame? When this same God loves us enough that in the midst of that sin, in the midst of trying to cover up, God provides a garment for you to go forth. And yes, we are thrown out of this paradise, but even that in some ways is a good thing. Because what would it be like if we had reached for the tree of life? If we could live forever on this earth, in this state of sin, do you think that would be a good thing? So even with all that we do, God continuously reaches out to us. When we look back to this story, we see a God at the beginning of creation, two stories of creation. And don't get into some big debate about we can make it fit in science and all of that stuff. See, because this is religion. Okay, there's science, there's history, there's philosophy, there's astronomy, there's astrology, there's all kinds of stuff. And it all blends together.
But our focus as people of faith is on what? Religion and faith. So when we read these two stories, the first one of this grand and magnificent God who speaks and things come into being. And then the second one of this intimate, personal God who breathes life into us, who creates all of creation, and who then, as this story comes forth, walks in the garden, right? At 8:30, we sung In the Garden. You know that song? And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and tells me I am his own, right? It's that picture of God being personal and close in relationship with everything. And then, even in the midst of their sin, clothing them and sending them out of the garden. It says to us that this God continues to love us, that this God has chosen us from the beginning of time. God did not need to create humans. In fact, when we get to the flood and the story of Noah, we know that God is heartbroken, that God created humanity because of our ongoing sin. And yet God continues to forgive, continues to renew, and continues to love us as no one else can ever love us. God has chosen us, and as Christians we come forth and we say, not only at the beginning of time and again through the people of Israel, but now through Jesus, through this Lord and Savior. And I told them at 8:30 that, you know, I broke one of my big rules. Because I have always said since, you know, I entered seminary that the Old Testament is the Old Testament. And when you preach from the Old Testament, you aren't supposed to be talking about Jesus. It's a sound rule. And I was going to stick to it, I tell you. I was. And then God said, you need a little Jesus, don't you? And I said, yes, I do. Can I please just say something about Jesus? And God's like, okay, go ahead. So we're going to say something about Jesus. All right? And for the Baptists among you. All right? I just love Baptists. I do! Because now watch this. We got another scripture passage. Now I can tell who's Methodist and going, another scripture passage? Now we're going to run over time, and it's only one passage in here, and it wasn't in the bulletin, and I didn't bring any Bible, and I don't know any. And the Baptists are like, oh, where is it? Bring it! So we're going to look at the Gospel according to John. So flip on over to chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. Jesus, the true vine. Right? And we know this passage is where Jesus talks about being the vine that connects us to all, right? To each other, to God, that helps us to bear fruit. And we pick it up in verse 12. Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friend if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants or slaves any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. You did not choose me. I chose you. From the beginning of time, God has chosen us to be stewards of the earth that God created, to love each other as God loves us. And I will say to you, and those of you who know me know I'm a crier, and that's the way it is. All right? So we just roll with that. Somebody said to me the other day, I started crying at a movie,
And she said, so what are you feeling? What's it say to you? Of course, I know you cry all the time anyway. And I was like, yeah, but it was also saying something to me. So you never know. But when God says, I chose you. And now, Jesus, I chose you to be my disciples. To love each other the way I love you. Do we understand how much God loves us? Do we understand? Because I think if we understood, we would live life a whole lot differently.
Amen.
And I don't come here today to, because I'm not going to turn Baptist on you and start preaching hell and damnation, but see, the Methodists would get worried. They're like, uh-oh. Then we're going to have an altar call. Oh, no. Oh, no. But I do come here to say to you that as Christians, as people of faith, who believe in all of this scripture, who believe in a God that created heaven and earth, who believes in a God that created us to watch over all creation, who believe in a God that calls us to care for each other, to love each other. And there is a difference between loving and being Christian. Now let me say that again. There's a difference between loving and being Christian. Christian is a title. We are supposed to be little Christ. It's supposed to remind us of that role. But we can be Christian all day long. We can come to church every Sunday. We can read our scripture. We can go to disciple classes. We can sing in the choir. We can do mission work. We can do all kinds of things. It makes us no different from anybody else. Anyone in the world can do all those things. And they are good things. But what makes us Christians is that we share God's love, the love of Christ. That's what God calls us to do as Christians, to share that love, love each other as I love you. And I call on you, Calvary, at a new day in your life. You have a new pastor. And the pastor always brings a new start. Some people will leave. Some people want to leave all along. And the new pastor comes, they're like, yeah, time for me to get out of here now. Yeah. Some people will come because they want to check it out. They got a new pastor over there. We'll see what's going on. It's a new day. Use it as a new day. You are a loving congregation. I can tell that when I come here. Amen. This choir comes up with joy and with happiness and with glee, and they stand there and they're singing to you and moving around, and they're happy to sing to God. You are a diverse congregation in so many ways. Let that be a part of you, and let the community know that that is a part of you. Let that love that you show each other be shown to your community. There is a difference between handing someone food and loving. Building relationships with someone. And as Christians, we pass out food and we do all the works that we do to build relationships. Mary spoke to you about mentoring, to mentor a child. It's not about teaching them 2 + 2 = 4 and how to read. Yeah, that's good. But it's about building relationships with a child to know that somebody cares for them enough to come and sit and talk to them, that there's somebody else out there that they can call, that will pray for them, that will root for them. Mm-hmm. And that's all any of us look for from the beginning of life. So I ask you, Calvary United Methodist Church on Blanding Boulevard, can you do that? Can you show that kind of love to this community that so desperately needs it? Can you do that? Will you do that? I can't hear you. Will you do that?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Stop preaching and go on to meddling, as they say. So I'm going to stop. But I do encourage you to show that love. Be the people that God has created you to be. Let us pray. Spirit of love and of life, God of wonder and of mystery, we know how much you love us. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we continue to walk in shame. And yet we know that you cover us, you protect us, you guide us. Help us to be your people in this church family, in this community, in our nation, and throughout the world. All this we bring to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now it is time for us to have communion. And if you will turn, oh, thank you, in your hymnal to page 9, we will begin the Great Thanksgiving. I hope that was a good sigh, not a bad sigh. Heard somebody go, ah, okay. I understand, believe me. Page 9. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Because there is one body, we take from this one loaf, remembering that night when Jesus took it, gave thanks to God, broke it, and gave it to each of his disciples. Today, we will take it as his disciples, remembering his body given for us. We take from one cup, remembering Jesus giving the cup to his disciples, and saying, take from this, each of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, given for you, for many, for all, for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. So today we come forth to remember that we are forgiven, and that we are loved, and that we are a family. Thank you.
We're negotiating, so please give us just a second. We're going to sing number 314 in your hymnals, if you'd stand.
Loved us. Let us go forth in the name of the one who created us, who redeems us, and who forever will sustain us. Amen.